From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the fifth day of March 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics in Lafayette, Indiana. And then later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard, the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Dave Dickey will be here, too. He'll have all the agricultural news for the day. And along the way, we'll listen to a conversation I had this morning with farm management specialist from the U of I, Gary Schnitke. He lays out four criteria by which crop insurance decisions should be made. It all happens right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on this Friday afternoon. Futures finished the day like this. The nearby March wheat, 482 and a quarter. Settlement price down 8 and a quarter cents. May at 493 and a half, 8 and 3 quarters lower. And the July contract, 505 and three quarters, down 8 and 3 quarters. July hard red at 511 and a half, down 7. March corn futures, 364 and three quarters, down 7 and a quarter. The May at 375 and a half, 7 and a half lower. And July, 386 and a half, down 7 and a half cents. September, 395, down 6 and a half. December corn, 402 and one half, down 6 cents. March soybean futures, 934 and three quarters, up 2 and a quarter. The May at 942 and three quarters higher. July 950 and a half unchanged. August at 947 and three quarters, down a quarter. September beans unchanged at 935. And the November contract on the afternoon settled at 925. It was unchanged as well. Taking a look at the bean meal, March contract 257.90 unchanged. The May at 257.70, down 20 cents. March oil up 9 cents at 39.72. May soybean oil at $40.05, a nickel higher on the afternoon. April live cattle futures 92.95, down 7.5. The June at 91.57.5, a dime lower. March feeder cattle, 102.20, down 32.5 cents, but the April's gained a dime. They finished at $105.22.5. April lean hog, $73.10, down 47.5. May futures there at $79.02.5, up 7.5 cents on this Friday afternoon. You are listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, a settlement price for the day at $81.60. Actually, that's still trading, up $1.39. April ethanol at $1.61.5. That is a settlement price, up a penny and a tenth. Natural gas at $4.59, 1.5 higher. RBOB at $2.27 and 2 tenths. That's 3 and 9 tenths higher. And the heating oil at $2.10, up 3 and a tenth of a cent. Gold futures today at $1,134.80, up $2.20. The Dow at 10,547 is just about 104 points higher. The U.S. dollar at 80.43 is down 0.12. And the CRB index on the afternoon at 276.93 is up 2.13 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like as prepared by our own chief meteorologist, Ed Keezer. He says, tonight, clear to partly cloudy skies. Lows will range from 16 in northeastern Indiana to 28 in the southwestern parts of Illinois. And then tomorrow in northwestern and west central Illinois, increasing cloudiness. Elsewhere, mostly sunny. Highs will range from 42 in northeastern Indiana to 57 in the southern part of Illinois. The extended forecast says dry weather continues today and tomorrow. High temps through the early part of next week will mostly range from the 40s in the north to the 50s in the south. Doesn't that sound good? Which is just slightly above the average and a change, of course, from the recent trend. A few scattered showers will enter northwestern and west central Illinois Saturday night and the rest of the two-state area. On Sunday, those showers should remain spotty and light. We'll have a break in the action on Monday, and rain will start to push into Illinois and southwestern Indiana on Tuesday and the rest of the region Tuesday night. The rest of next week will likely be rather damp and gray. More on the agricultural weather when we get to the bottom of this hour.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. Time to check in on the agricultural marketplace. Online with us today, Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He's in beautiful Lafayette, Indiana. Hi, Mike.
It is beautiful today, Todd.
Boy, what a gorgeous day. You know, I came across campus, and there was a lot of green on campus today.
I think the Chicago traders saw that in your mind, and they decided to go ahead and sell the corn because of this warm-up expected.
It's actually, the kids are celebrating unofficial St. Patrick's Day, and if what I saw was any indication, it might be a wild and woolly one here on campus tonight.
You know, thank goodness my dad's no longer living, but every day in college for me was unofficial St. Patrick's Day.
I think I had a few of those myself. Oh,
he was elated when I'd bring home a 2.7 GPA or something like that.
All right. Well, you shouldn't talk about that too much because you've got to make sure people trust you, Mike, when you talk about the marketplace.
I'm a changed man, Todd. I'm a changed man now.
Yeah, there you go. That's the deal. So let's talk about the marketplace. We can talk about it as a look at it today where we had a lot of red in the marketplace. It was lower on the week, too. The numbers, let's see, in the wheat down 25 cents, corn off 10 to 13. They lost a good portion of that today. Soybeans were down 16 cents on the week. What'd you make of it all?
Disappointing from a standpoint of the outside markets. You know, to see new weekly lows in the corn and the wheat, losing 10-day moving average support, taking, in, like you say, in the case of corn, taking 20 cents off the almost 20 cents off the top and only within 20 cents of the February lows, really, really disappointing from a standpoint of the outside markets. As I had said on the closing, going into the closing trade with the midday comments filling in for Sue, I really thought that if the meal would find some stability, the corn would be able to find some, you know, strength and short covering off of the meal, off of the beans, and off the outside markets. And we had the meal firm up. We had the beans firm up. The outside markets stayed very, very strong through the grain close, but corn took a turn for the worse. And you know, between the warmer weather outlook and maybe the pre-report numbers coming out, those are the best two explanations I can give you. Because I did take a note, of the carryout forecast of the upcoming report, and only 5 of 20 of the private analysts are expecting corn carryover to be below 1.7 billion bushels, and that was about 1.72 is where we were last month. Whereas in the beans, 13 of 20 analysts were expecting below 200 million bushels in beans and 5 of 20 below 190 million bushels in beans with USDA's last month 210. I thought that very interesting that I was not the only one that was starting to, you know, I've kept my number pretty much the same for 3 months, but there's others now starting to work well under 200 million out there. And I think maybe that was one of the reasons why the beans held in there and the corn did not too. But certainly the trade earlier in the week was looking at cold weather as bullish, warm weather as bearish, and even though this warmer weather is going to be coming with wet weather, it seems like maybe they didn't care about that too much.
Yeah, some of the other numbers that will be released next week, let's see. Average trade guess for yield on corn is now 164.5 USDA, of course, in January at 165.2. Remember, they're re-releasing these numbers. It's odd to have them do this, but there was so much corn left standing that they decided to go ahead and do it. Soybeans,
right.
A 43.8 for the average yield nationwide. That was a 44 the last time around. So
right. Yeah, the yield numbers don't jump out too much out, yeah, but when you look at the ending stocks,
right.
I thought that pretty interesting.
Yeah, so the ending stocks are telling you that the folks that are looking further out are at least thinking there would be less supply as we head into the new marketplace. I don't know whether that really means this time around that they're thinking that that means more a higher price or just that the price we're at is an elevated price for them.
Yeah, I think it goes back to risk premium going into the market, you know, and going into the market report, going into the USDA report, and what they feel comfortable with going into Wednesday morning. And when the wheat made new contract lows over in Europe late in the day, that was pretty much the kiss of death for the wheat market here in the United States. And I noticed earlier in the week that the Kansas wheat crop was 3% better than last year at this time in terms of good to excellent. And then Wichita, Kansas, on the 8 or 9 day model outlook, is looking at almost 2 inches of rain here as they warm up. In fact, I talked to a client in Kansas and in Texas, and they were both in the 70s today. So you really couldn't ask for any better weather in the southern plains coming out of dormancy. Spring wheat is the exact opposite. We're looking at a lot of flooding there, and we're starting to see the cash basis for spring wheat really start to jump. But for Chicago, for Kansas City, that was not to be. They were going to follow the European markets and follow the bearish weather. So, again, I think you go back to the report and what you feel comfortable with going into the report. I think the trade doesn't mind taking premium out of wheat, and now with these pre-estimates taking some premium out of the corn. Beans have already had some premium taken out of them. Maybe they want to hold pat here going into the report.
Mike, thanks so much for joining us
today. Have a great weekend, sir.
Hey, you too. Mike Zuzulo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He's located in Lafayette, Indiana.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3758. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
In agricultural news, a new Government Accountability Office report says that U.S. Agriculture Department inspectors need better training on what action to take when they see livestock being abused. In a survey, USDA inspectors reported different responses for what they would do if they saw meat plants breaking a law to ensure animals do not feel pain at slaughter. Some 23% of the inspectors surveyed say they would shut down the plant if they witnessed plant workers improperly stunning livestock. 27% say they would file a report requiring corrective action. 38% say they would take regulatory control action. 5% say they did not know. And 7% had another response. The advanced biofuel industry is pressing Congress to approve a 30% investment tax credit that it says is needed to help jumpstart production necessary to meet a national renewable fuel mandate. Although a 2007 law mandates the use of advanced and cellulosic biofuels starting this year, no commercial biorefineries will come online before 2011 at the earliest. Industry officials say the biggest problem right now is financing. Congress has approved loan guarantees through the Department of Energy, but delays in processing applications have stymied funding for many projects. Lawmakers have also authorized production tax credits, but with financiers in the red, there has only been a trickle from banks looking to take advantage of the credit. The House Agriculture Committee approved by unanimous voice vote an extension through 2015 of the Agricultural Mediation Program authorized under Title V of the Agricultural Credit Act of 1987. The mediation program, which provides grants to state departments of agriculture to help farmers deal with credit disputes in a non-adversarial setting, was passed during the farm crisis of the 1980s. House Agriculture Committee Chairman Colin Peterson says that the program is being used this year by dairy and hog producers who have experienced difficult economic circumstances. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Our panelists on Commodity Week this week, Jackie Vakes, Matt Bennett, and Glenn Ring. They'll all be there, and we'll have a discussion about the marketplace. You can hear it online after 6 o'clock at willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Gary Schnitke, Farm Management Specialist at the U of I, is here to talk about crop insurance decisions. They have to be made very shortly by farmers. What are some considerations that they should take into account?
Most farmers will either be going the CRC-RA route or the GRIP route. And either one of those products or choices is perfectly appropriate. But in a recent article, we listed four criteria for choosing between the CRC or the farm-level products and the GRIP or the county-level products.
And what are those four criteria?
The first is whether you want to emphasize yield protection or price protection. And if you want to emphasize yield protection, go the CRC route because it has farm-level yields trigger the payments and it has replant and preventive planting provisions. On the other hand, if you want to emphasize price protection, go the GRIP route. And there's a couple reasons why GRIP provides better protection than CRC. One is that you can buy it at a 90% coverage level, and that 90 versus 85% is pretty important. And the second reason is because GRIP uses an expected yield that doesn't lag that what's expected, while CRC will use an APH yield that does lag. So that's the first criteria. Price protection, go GRIP. Yield protection, go CRC. The second one is, does your APH yield really lag what you expect to get on the farm? And we expect APH yields, given a 10-year yield history, to lag by 10 bushels. Some farms have much, much, much higher than that. And if it really lags, you're almost pushed to a GRIP route because you will never trigger payments under the CRC route. The third is, does your farm track the county yield? If your farm yields track the county yields, you're more likely to choose GRIP than CRC. And the fourth criteria is a new one this year, and that is, what's the GRIP premium in your county? And we see $20 differences in GRIP premiums between adjacent counties. So you really have to look at that.
So there are real considerations that they have to take into account. And you'll have that up on the FarmDoc website. There are calculators there that they ought to be using, I suppose, at this point. Those calculators are good in Illinois, Indiana, and throughout the Midwest, for every county?
Throughout the Midwest, but Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Ohio, pretty much every place east of the Mississippi and the Great Plains area. But, yeah, you can check out your premiums. And, again, really look at the premiums for GRIP this year because, in some cases, they're down $20 from last year. And also we have evaluators for evaluating how crop insurance is paid out over time. We have a downloadable crop insurance decision tool with a number of tools on it as well.
Yeah, so there's a spreadsheet there. You have to have Excel in order to use
it. You have to have Excel in order to run the spreadsheet. Many people like the spreadsheet. It has a premium calculator, a what-if tool. We show county yields back to 72 for any county that you want to select. And also shows RMA premiums and payments by year for different products.
Is there any preference from your point of view this year for one product over another?
Between CRC and RA?
Mm-hmm.
Choose the one with the lowest premiums. They're virtually the same. Only difference is that RA uses the month of November for corn to determine its harvest price, while CRC uses October. That's the only difference. I would just base it strictly on which has the lowest premium.
Ag economists from almost all of the land grants, I think all of the land grants in the Midwest at least, suggested that producers use the acre program. About 13 to 15% of them around the Midwest signed up, higher in Illinois. Is there any reason to consider that during this decision process?
No, I wouldn't give the acre versus the traditional programs much weight. Acre does provide some revenue protection, but it's at a state level. It also happens that you'll get paid a year afterwards. For example, we won't know the 2009 payment till October 2010, so there's that unlinkage. So I wouldn't really make that a big part of the decision criteria.
And for those who are wanting to do it, Why shouldn't they? I mean, I understand that there doesn't look like there'll be, but there'll be some that say, well, this is protecting it.
I would still.
It's probably, it's just the lag time that's the real problem, isn't it?
Yeah, I wouldn't. No, I think acre's a good choice to make. I just wouldn't make a crop insurance decision that's different whether I've chosen acre versus whether I've chosen or remained in the traditional program. I think you're still coming down to RA, CRC, or GRIP.
Gary Schnitke is a member of the Farm Doc team, and while he won't be at our All Day Ag Outlook meeting next Tuesday at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, he will be with me and Jackie Vakes and Dan Zwicker at the Rural Lincoln Fire Protection Department building in Lincoln, Illinois. That's Logan County. Logan County Farm Bureau is sponsoring that next Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. Contact the Logan County Farm Bureau for all the details, and they'll be up on our website as well. Gary, thanks for going out to that program, and looking forward to talking to you then.
We're looking forward to it.
Gary Schnitke again, Farm Management Specialist at the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Friday afternoon. Time to check in on the agricultural cash grain markets. Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, joins us today. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
It's a beautiful day. Do you have anybody harvesting up there?
No, thank goodness. I think we're all done on that.
Well, I know there's been some harvesting going on here. There's been harvesting in Iowa, the northern part of Illinois, so I thought I'd check and see how you were doing in your area. Tell me about cash basis in that case.
Basis switched over to the May and gained a few cents in the transition. Since then, it's been relatively quiet, maybe a tad bit better on the corn. Soybeans, the same thing. Switched over to the May and gained a little there, gained a couple cents through the course of the week. So relatively quiet this week, choppy enough market. I think everybody's kind of scratching their head trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, so the numbers that have come out from the trade about next week's market or about next week's reports are suggesting that the trade seems to think that there will be fewer beans left on hand than USDA had predicted the last time around. From your experience with the current basis for soybeans, does that seem to be correct to you?
That would seem reasonable. The market has shoved an awful lot of beans out the door since harvest. So we've gone through a lot of bean ownership. Everything was front-end loaded. There was really no cash incentive to carry stuff. So that has moved a lot out. Now, this last week, it looks a little bit more like we're in the process of switching things over to the Brazilians because you see, maybe a little bit of a choppy basis number. It's gotten a little bit better, but it doesn't feel like it's got a lot of depth to it.
And finally, what are your bids for the day?
We are at 350 on nearby corn, 370 new crop, beans, 927, and 885.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's Bruce Bostard. He's with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with Steve Hilberg right here on Illinois Public Media.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. Senator Kirk Dillard called it a hard-fought race today as he conceded defeat in the Republican primary for Illinois governor. Dillard's concession makes Bloomington Senator Bill Brady the party's official nominee. Dillard says he'll do whatever he can to help Brady defeat Democratic Governor Pat Quinn in November. The senator says he feels Brady can win the governor's race, but he needs to become better known in the Chicago area. Official results released today by the State Board of Elections show Brady winning the primary by 193 votes. Dillard also says he's decided not to ask for a recount. Unofficial election night results compiled by the Associated Press showed Brady with a lead of 420 votes. Absentee and provisional ballots counted since then narrowed the gap. Nearly 150 people have applied to be the Democratic candidate for Illinois Lieutenant Governor. The Democratic Party began accepting applications this week from people who want to replace primary winner Scott Lee Cohen on the ballot. Cohen has left the race. Former Democratic candidate for Comptroller Raja Krishnamoorthy and former Lieutenant Governor candidate Thomas Castillo say they've submitted applications, but longtime journalist Bob Arya has withdrawn his application. The former advisor to ousted Governor Rod Blagojevich says he's throwing his support behind State Representative Arthur Turner, who came in second to Cohen in the primary. Party officials say no timeline has been set to pick a candidate. Champaign Police Sergeant Scott Friedline says while unofficial St. Patrick's Day is still resulting in arrests and the breaking up of parties, he says things are relatively calm despite the warmer weather. The University of Illinois' unsanctioned drinking event has produced new ordinances for those holding parties, and Friedline says for the most part, those people in the campus area apartments are doing things by the book. Meanwhile, U of I spokeswoman Robin Kaler says about 70 vehicles from visitors have been towed from campus parking spaces, but Kaler says there hadn't been any reports of class disruptions. Republican-controlled Indiana Senate kept working today while the Democratic-led House remained at bay. Lawmakers had hoped to adjourn the 2010 session yesterday, more than a week before the March 14th adjournment deadline set by law. But Democratic House Speaker Patrick Bauer decided late last night to put the House into recess until next Wednesday. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Friday afternoon. Steve Hilberg, the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, is online to talk about the agricultural weather forecast with us this afternoon. Hi, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It's so nice out, and I expect it'll be nice tomorrow that I have a boy who's going to practice baseball outside.
Wow. Yeah, I figure it won't be long before we'll be seeing not only that, but soccer as well as everybody starts to get out there. Well, the ground's still a little damp. We've got, you know, the frost is still coming out of the ground. There's still patches of snow everywhere. So things are going to be a little damp for a while. But, yeah, otherwise it's going to be one of the best couple of days we've had in quite some time.
And temperature outside at this hour, 44 degrees in Urbana-Champaign. Can we expect those kinds of good temperatures for highs during the day Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah, at least, especially tomorrow, with some sunshine, it ought to be up near 50, and probably on Sunday as well. We'll be in a light southerly flow. So, and the snow cover to our north has been diminishing slowly but surely, so sources of cold air are a little less dramatic than they were a week or two ago. So we should have a pretty nice weekend for the most part. There might be a risk for a few showers across, especially the northern half of Illinois, late in the weekend. But otherwise, I think we're going to be in pretty good shape.
Mm-hmm. And then as we head into next week, and especially I'd like to hear about Tuesday when we have our all-day Ag Outlook meeting at the Beef House in Covington.
Yeah, it looks like right now, and to be honest, I'm a little skeptical on how this might all work out because the models have been all over the place for next week. But right now, as it stands, by Tuesday morning, it looks like there'll be a low in the Central Plains, somewhere from central Kansas to western Missouri, with a broad shield of rain extending from the Gulf Coast in through the Mississippi River Valley. And it looks like some pretty good rain could move in here during the day on Tuesday. And that obviously will make things a little messy, but not for travel for the most part, because it will be all rain. The big fly in the ointment on this one is this storm is not even on shore yet. It's still out in the Pacific. And as I mentioned, the models have been jumping the last 48 hours all over the place on handling systems for next week. So it could be worse. It could be better than what it's looking at right now. It's a little hard to tell.
Well, it is the all-day Ag Outlook. What's the worst case
That's
scenario?
True. So, but after that, it looks like we might turn a little bit cooler again as we get into some northeast flow and colder air comes in. So we're getting a nice taste of spring today and this weekend, but, you know, March can be a very changeable month, and it looks like perhaps by the end of next week we'll be cooling down again.
And finally, speaking of March, let's go back to February. Take a look at that month for me. Tell me how it fared. You are a climatologist after
that. Oh, yeah. It was a cold month, and the whole winter was cold here. But temperatures across the state in February actually ranged quite a bit. It was actually relatively warmer north and much colder south, with temperatures about near normal in the north and then 4 to 6 degrees below normal in the south. Precipitation, we were on the light side for the most part, but we did have a lot of snow.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay.
And that is Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center at the Illinois State Water Survey. They belong to NOAA right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. It is home to Illinois Public Media. the producer of the Closing Market Report. You have a great weekend, and be sure to visit our website to listen to Commodity Week. We'll post it by about 6 o'clock this Friday evening, Commodity Week at willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.